And we're turning again to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Another look at a lesson from nature. And tonight we want to consider the donkey. The donkey. Let's seek God's help in prayer. Father in heaven, speak to us through thy word. Thy word is truth. And may thy word be written upon our hearts, brought there by the Spirit of God. One who has penned and preserved these words, bring them to life within our heart. We might apply ourselves even unto wisdom, and that we might take heed of the gospel truths and live out to the glory of thy great name. We ask these things through Christ our Saviour. Amen. Here in Mark chapter 11, these opening verses, the passage records for us the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And it would be that very morning that our Saviour would fulfil the prophecy that had been given many years before by the prophet Zechariah. And Zechariah had written these words about the coming of the Messiah. You can find it in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That prophecy was literally fulfilled on that occasion from which we've been reading in Mark chapter 11. And of course the primary emphasis of the passage is concerning the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel, that he is indeed their long awaited Messiah, the King who they say that they were waiting for, the King unfortunately who came unto his own, but his own received not. And while the common man rejoiced in the appearance of the Lord Jesus, we've seen how they took their garments and branches from the trees, and they spread it on the way before the Lord and cried out, Hosanna. And that word simply means, saved now. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the common people, we're told, heard him gladly. But we know that the leaders of the nation rejected him and stirred up the people against him. And before the end of the next Sabbath day, the Lord Jesus will have been betrayed by his disciple Judas. He will have been tried before Herod and Pontius Pilate, as well as the Sanhedrin. And Israel will reject her king, crying out that he be crucified and Barabbas released in his stead. And the passage itself is glorious, but I want to focus in just one little aspect of our Saviour's entry to Jerusalem, and to think upon the little donkey that he rode upon as he entered into the city, and to draw your attention to that little donkey and the lessons that we can glean from that humble animal. Verse 3 tells us that if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. That's quite amazing. That the Lord of glory had need of a little donkey. The Lord Jesus, who could have entered into Jerusalem with a train of angels following in his wake, in all of the glory that he has in heaven, yet he has chosen to use a little donkey to make his entry into Jerusalem. The Lord hath need of him. And the Lord is still making use of little donkeys to get his work done. I know it might not sound very flattering, but I hope by the end of the message you will be happy to be called a little donkey. The Lord didn't use some great stallion. The generals rode in upon their great stallions, their great chargers at the head of their army. The Lord chooses a little one to accomplish his work. And I hope that encourages us that the Lord can use the likes of you and me to do his bidding. The Lord might have need of us. He certainly doesn't need us. But if he graciously chooses to make use of us as part of the great plan of spreading the gospel throughout the world, then how grateful we should be. The Lord didn't choose angels to spread the message of the gospel. He has chosen those who have been redeemed to spread the news to those that are round about. And so, if the Lord might say of us that he has need, then we ought to gladly and humbly yield ourselves unto him. So, may the Lord be pleased to still use the little donkeys. He doesn't need the most gifted of public speakers, the most eloquent or the most flowery in their language. We don't have to be the richest person in town to be of use to the Lord. We don't have to have the brightest and most charismatic of personalities. We simply have to be faithful and available to the Lord to use. I forget who it was that said that the best ability is availability. And so we want to be there in our place, ready for the Lord's command to come to him. So, a few things to note of what must happen before the Lord can use this little donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Things that are important that we can't afford to overlook. Before the Lord could use this donkey, the donkey had to be redeemed. Had to be redeemed. According to the word of God, this donkey is only alive and available for the Lord's use because it had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now turn back in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. And we're going to chapter 13. Although there's a similar reference in chapter 34. We'll read Exodus chapter 13 to begin with. So Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. So in the book of Exodus, we find God outlining what is referred to as the law of the firstborn. How every firstborn thing must be dedicated unto the Lord. The firstborn of every family, among all thy children, but also the firstborn amongst animals. So the firstborn of every clean animal, be that sheep or oxen, cows, had to be offered up to the Lord as a sacrifice before him. So the firstling of any clean animal had to be offered to the Lord. So that clean animal being born, when the animal then was about a month old, it was taken and slaughtered in an offering. Its blood sprinkled upon the altar, its fat and its innards burned as a sweet smelling fragrance unto the Lord. That was for every clean animal. Of course, we know the Lord also identified certain unclean animals. Unclean animals were required to fulfill this law too, but because unclean animals couldn't be redeemed with a sacrifice themselves, they were unfit for that purpose, the law demanded that a ransom price be paid for the unclean firstborns. If you're interested in the exact amounts, you'll find them recorded for us throughout the book of Numbers in particular. And so there was a price that was allotted for the redemption of unclean animals. If the owner was unable or unwilling to pay that ransom price, then the neck of the animal was to be broken, it was to be put down. I said that was the law for most of the unclean animals. There was one exception, and that was the donkey. Donkeys were an exception to that rule. They weren't to be redeemed with the paying of a price of silver or gold. The donkey, however, being an unclean animal, the firstborn being unable to be offered upon the altar as a sacrifice, there was only one other way to redeem the donkey, And verse 13 of Exodus 13 tells us, "The firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb." With a lamb. A lamb had to be sacrificed in its place. A lamb had to be offered, its life taken, its blood shed, its body burned upon the altar, in order that the donkey might be redeemed. If the owner decided that the donkey wasn't worth keeping, it wasn't worth the price of a lamb, then he was forced to break the donkey's neck. We read something similar in Exodus chapter 34 and the verse 20. "But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty." So clean animals, firstborn of a clean animal, have to be offered unto the Lord as a sacrifice. Firstborn amongst unclean animals have to be redeemed with a price. Firstborn amongst donkeys could only be redeemed with the shedding of the blood of a lamb in its place. And firstborn amongst your children, well, obviously breaking their neck wasn't an option, no matter what some parents might think about their teenagers. It's too late now. They had to be redeemed with a lamb also. So there's a little bit of a correlation between the donkey and the human. Both had to be redeemed with a lamb. So the donkey that was there for use upon the Saviour's entry into Jerusalem had first of all to be redeemed. It was only there in its place because someone had shed the blood of a lamb in order that it might be set free. So there's a connection to be made. When you think of our own estate before God, we're dead in trespasses and in sin. We are enemies before God. Our natural condition is to be given over to our sins, to the lust of the world and of the flesh. We are under the condemnation of Almighty God. We are unclean from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We're filled with those wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, the Bible tells. We're under judgment from God. In our natural estate, we are fit for nothing but the fires of God's judgment. Useless toward God. We're separated from Him by a wide gulf of sin. That was our natural condition. That's how the Lord found us. That's not how He left us. When He saves us by His grace, He transforms us completely. We are redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Our sins and our guilt is washed away. The righteousness of the Lamb of God is given to us. And we are now brought into the Lord's family as those who have been redeemed. The only way the donkey could be used is if it's redeemed by the blood of a lamb. The only way that you and I can be of use to the Lord is if, first of all, we are redeemed from our unclean state. And the redemption that we require, like the donkey, is not paid with silver or gold, but with the sacrifice of a lamb on our behalf. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." If you and I are going to have any usefulness unto the Lord today at all, we must first of all know the redeeming power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just so we understand and we're clear about it, redemption is not an option, it is a necessity. The Lord Jesus put it this way when He was speaking to Nicodemus: "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. There is no alternative. Without the new birth, you're still in your sins. You're still under judgment." The Lord Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, just be baptized, or just join the church, or turn over a new leaf and try and do things better than you've done previously. No, you must be born again. And if you have a margin in your Bible there in John 3, you'll find the word again can also be translated from above. You must be born from above. Saviour has been speaking about that need to be born from above. You've been born in an earthly sense, a physical sense, but we need to be born in a spiritual sense, from above, from God. And without that new birth, we are still in our sins. We need to be redeemed. And that's not something that happens because we joined a church or we attend a fellowship or we're baptized or we signed a register or something like that. We're not redeemed because we've decided not to commit this sin anymore but to do something better instead. Salvation comes when we are convicted by God of the nature of our sin and we realize there's no hope to be found in ourselves and we look out of ourselves by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb who was sacrificed in order that we might be cleansed from our sin, redeemed from our guilt. Completely unconnected to anything we have done or can do. So before the donkey could be of use to the Lord, it had to be redeemed. If you and I are going to be of use to the Lord, we have to be redeemed. We have to be cleansed from our sins, from our old nature, and be born again of the Spirit of God. So the donkey had to be redeemed. Now, what else can we say about the donkey before it could be of use to the Lord? In verse 2 of Mark chapter 11, the Savior is about to give instructions to his disciples. He's told them about the donkey that he requires, and he tells them where they would find it. Verse 2, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. So they were to find the donkey, they were to untie him and bring him to Jesus. And verse 4 tells us that they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without or outside in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. So the Savior told them where they would find the donkey, go and find it, untie it, bring it to me. And so when they first encounter the donkey, it's bound, it's tied up, and before it can be of use to the master, it needs to be released. It needs to be set free. They went their way, they found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Donkey has to be released from the things that have bound it. When the Lord first found us, I'm going to say again, we were just like that little donkey. We have to be redeemed before we can be of use, but we also have to be released. And we have to be released from the chains of sin that held us fast. Those sins and chains have to be broken. We have to be set free. The Bible makes it very clear, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in particular, and Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are slaves to sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were slaves to sin. In fact, the Lord Jesus, in identifying his enemies in John chapter 8, speaks of them as being children of the devil. We were bound in sin. and bound to sin, we are of little use to the Lord. We cannot serve Him. We cannot live for Him. We cannot bring glory to His name as long as we are bound up and tied down in our sins. We need to be released. And how we praise the Lord, that's what He does when He saves us. He comes to where we are and He gives us liberty and newness of life. He delivers us from the bondage of our sins. He has come to give us glorious freedom, first of all from ourselves and from sin and from Satan himself. And we rejoice when we read in John's Gospel, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So there are certain things that we have to be released from before the Lord can use us. We have to be released from the bondage of our sin. If we're still captive to our sin, we're not going to be of much use to the Lord. We have to be delivered from it. And of course, we're reminded of what we read in Romans 6 and 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." We have to be delivered from those sins. And so when we are converted unto the Lord, when we come to Him by faith and are born again of His Spirit, there ought to be a releasing in our lives from those sins that bind us fast. I was reading Arthur Pink recently on the subject, and he's quite a lot to say on the matter, but I took an outline down. I thought I might preach it sometime, but I'm going to share it with you this evening. He says, "We were first freed from the pleasures of sin." In other words, the things that we once enjoyed bring no satisfaction to us anymore. They leave a bitterness to our taste. We find no joy in them any longer. And while at times we still run after sin thinking this is what we want, there's no joy, no pleasure. There's only a guilty aftertaste that leaves us with ashes in the mouth. Praise God, when He saves us, He takes away our love for sin. We don't enjoy it anymore. The backslider who has left the Lord to go back to the sins from which they've been delivered is the most miserable person you will ever find. The unconverted person loves their sin, lives for their sin. We who have been delivered from that can truly find no lasting joy or pleasure in sin any longer. We are delivered and freed from the pleasures of sin. Then we are, of course, delivered and released from the penalty of sin. There's no judgment that is awaiting us at the end of time because the Lord Jesus has paid the penalty of our sin. There upon the cross, the wrath of God fell upon the Saviour, and we are released from sin's penalty. Delivered from the pleasures of sin, delivered from the penalty of sin, we are delivered from the presence of sin. Because one day, in the fullness of God's time, we will be brought from this world with all of its sin and brought into the heaven of God. And before we enter in through those pearly gates, a wonderful thing happens. We are transformed. We are transformed into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered from the sin that indwells us, and we will enter into the presence of God, not simply clothed in the righteousness of Christ alone, but enjoying that same righteousness ourselves, delivered from the presence of sin. And when we get to heaven, we will find that there's nothing that offends that will ever enter in. No sin, no sickness, no death, no sorrow. None of those things will enter into the heaven of God. We will be forever delivered from the presence of sin. And of course, finally, we, as we have mentioned already, we are delivered from the power of sin. Sin has no longer dominion over us. There's no necessity placed upon us that we have to sin any longer. Now I know we do sin, And I know that there are times that temptations overtake us and we fall into sin. But know this, the Lord has promised that with every temptation to sin, there is a way, a means to escape. There's a looking to the Lord for deliverance. We must be released from the bondage of sin. Released from the bondage that Satan will place upon us to tie us down. I'm thinking elsewhere in the scriptures where we're warned about the sins and the things that doth so easily entangle us, where we get caught up again. How sad it is to be released from our sins by the Lord only to seek again the things that would entangle us again. Let's not give Satan that grip upon our lives. Let's not allow those cords to bind us again. The Saviour has released us from the bondage of Satan and sin. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Peter puts it this way: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Released from the power of sin, released from the bondage to Satan, released even from bondage to self. Now, how can a person escape themselves? Well, we're told that we're to die daily to self, to the old nature, to put on the new man which is in Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Or as Paul said to the church at Corinth, I die daily. If the Lord Jesus Christ has released us from our sins, praise him for it. If you know the Lord, follow after him. Die to self and sin daily, and commit yourself to him wholeheartedly. Present your bodies, brethren, Paul said, as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have been redeemed. We have been released. Now, before the donkey could be of use, it also had to be ruled. Verse 2 tells us something interesting about the donkey that the Lord Jesus would use. He said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. They sometimes talk about breaking horses. They take a wild animal and they put a saddle upon it, and the first thing that it wants to do is to kick the saddle off. It doesn't want to be ridden by a rider. Well, this little colt, this little donkey, was one that, whose spirit had not yet been broken. It was a wild animal and it had submitted to no master. And though, however, it was wild, it was brought to the Saviour, redeemed and released and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitted itself to him, because it would be upon that little donkey that the Lord Jesus would ride in upon to the city of Jerusalem. It yielded control to the master. And as the Saviour rode into Jerusalem and the crowds thronged around it, the little donkey wasn't frightened by the crowds or by the noise. It simply surrendered itself to the Lord Jesus Christ totally. And the very fact that this little donkey had not been broken that the Lord Jesus is riding into Jerusalem upon it is a miracle in itself. But of course, we read throughout the Word of God how the Lord has dominion over all His creation. And this little donkey surrenders its will to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost as if it's saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Yielding to the Master's sovereignty and to His authority, and becomes useful then to the Saviour as He rides into Jerusalem. That's what the Lord expects from you and I. He desires a total submission, a surrender of our lives to Him. If we're honest, there's times that we have real difficulty with authority. We do. We have a hard time coming to the idea that someone has authority over us. And that's right from our earliest days, whether it's the authority of parents within the home, or teachers within a school, or you find yourself under a particularly tough boss at work. And then of course there are legal authorities. We've got law and order that we're to submit to. There's authority within the church. We have a hard time submitting to authority. But the fact of the matter is, there is always someone over us. Ultimately, there our first and final authority is the Lord. We are to submit to Him. When He redeemed us from our sins, when He has released us from their bondage, He has purchased us for Himself. We are no longer our own, we are His. And if we are saved by His grace, we are owned by Him completely, and we are to submit to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul asked the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we submit ourselves to His Lordship. He has rule over us. Of course, when we have such a wonderful Master as our Saviour, we ought to have no trouble submitting to His authority. Our yielding to the Lord is an essential part of our salvation. You'll find time and again that our Saviour is referred to in the Scriptures as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only the Messiah King, the Christ. He is Jesus, our Saviour. But He's also Lord of glory. We can't separate our Saviour from His offices and from His power. We cannot divorce Him from His identity as being Lord of all. It's not enough to say that Jesus is my Saviour. Can you say that He is my Lord also? That we have submitted to Him, bowed before Him. That He is the supreme authority in our lives. He owns us completely. Having redeemed us with His own precious blood, we are no longer our own, but we are His. You notice in verse 3, the Saviour anticipates a problem. If any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him hither. Now, I'm told there are two readings to the last part of verse 3. And straightway He will send him hither. First reading is that the one who objects to the disciples coming and taking the donkey will, having heard that it's the Master who desires him, will send the donkey on his way. However, I'm told there is another reading of that verse that interprets something like this, that the Lord, when He has finished with them, will send him back again. The Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him hither. He will send him back when He has finished with them. So the Saviour tells His men to tell those who own the donkey that it will be returned as soon as the Master has finished with. And let me say that when the donkey came back again, it was better than when it left. Before it left, it was unbroken and untried, a colt upon which man had never sat, but when it came back again, it was ready for the saddle. It was more obedient than what it had been previously. You see, what the Lord takes and uses, He gives back again, far better than what it was when He first received it. Give Him an Abram, a lost pagan, and He'll give you back an Abraham, a mighty man of faith. Give Him your Jacob, the schemer and trickster, and He'll give you back an Israel, a prince with God. Give Him your Saul of Tarsus, a mean and cruel man, and He'll give you back Paul, the mighty apostle of God. Give Him your Simon, a weak, fickle man, and He'll give you back a Peter, a rock for Jesus. Give Him your broken, sin-scarred life, and He'll give you a new start, a new life, a home in heaven. The Lord always gives back much better than what He takes. He'll give us back something far greater. And as we read there in verse 3, the Lord hath need of him. Of course, the Lord of glory doesn't really need anything. His are the cattle on a thousand hills. And yet such is the wonderful message of the gospel, that He who was rich yet for our sake became poor. He who possessed all things, who created all things, yet when He came to this world, He had no place even to lay His head. The one who created every drop of water that existed in the world cried out, "I thirst." The one who created every tree and yet died upon a borrowed cross. Created every rock and yet borrowed a tomb in which to be buried. The one who could use the clouds as His chariots borrows a donkey upon which to ride. The Lord has need of Him. That the Lord could ever take someone like you and I, redeem us from our sin, release us from the bondage, rule over us, and make something useful from us is quite amazing. It's quite amazing. So if we are to be of use to the Lord, we need to be redeemed, released, and ruled. And I trust that you won't be offended if I encourage you to be little donkeys for the Master. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God that tells us of this donkey upon which the Saviour rode into Jerusalem. We pray that we might be of use to Thee. We realize that our talents are few. We realize that without Thee we are nothing. But having been redeemed by the Lord, born again of Thy Spirit, we pray for that release from sin and from self and from Satan, to be ruled over by the Lord, that we might be of use to the Master. Father, we pray for Thy Spirit to speak on to our hearts, and that this message will be a means of bringing us to our knees before the cross of our Savior, of submitting ourselves again unto our Redeemer, and having submitted to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be of use to Him. Speak on, we pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.